Radio NL, 610 AM Kamloops. We came from the basement, motherfucker. We came from the basement, motherfucker. We came from the basement, motherfucker. We came from the basement, motherfuckers.
Welcome back to the basement, everybody. Friday night, Saturday morning, and an especially thank you to our early Sunday morning listeners. We are Jason Shaw. We came from the basement. This is Radio NL. The greatest radio station on earth, I guess. I don't know.
Well, they
it's an AM station, so take that with a grain of salt.
Well, they've hosted us for 3 years now.
It's
so
awesome.
There's something about that.
That's why they're the best.
That's right, because we're here.
In the world.
For another this week and next, really. And then after that, they're on their own without us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
They could play our podcast versions.
The language would not be approved by the CRTC. That I guarantee.
And that's just our way of letting you know, the listeners, that we will still be coming at you through some other medium, and it will be rated R.
Or something thereabouts.
Yeah, I guess we're going to. Yeah.
The language will return. The podcasting language will return from the grave.
And we will offend a bunch of Karens, which I just did just there now. So you can contact us at basementreviews@gmail.com. And if your name is Karen, but you're awesome, we want to hear from you.
That's right.
As well.
That's right. The awesome Karens, not the other ones. I like that the meme you sent me the other day that I'm not allowed to repeat.
I know, right?
That was brilliant,
on
by the way.
On the podcast version, we will.
We absolutely will. This week, we're dedicating to the upcoming feature film Werewolves Within, a horror comedy. Comes out June 25th. That's next week.
Yeah.
But we've seen it. We're going to review it.
Yeah.
And I got to talk to Mishna Wolf, who is the writer of said film.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have her on the second half of the show. First half of the show, we dedicate to the movie itself, plus anything else. Quickly, did you catch anything else this week? I didn't get a lot in.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get a lot in either. I started watching a documentary on Hitler. I'm not even sure why. It was depressing, so I turned it off. because I know what happened. I learned about it, and I don't know why I decided to re-engage my mind into the thoughts of that and when we're trying to progress further. So, no, I haven't really watched anything. I got a lot of audio projects on the go.
Yep.
Like you and I, we both were working, doing other projects. Huge, that we want to believe is just taking off like crazy, so we're busy.
That's right.
With that.
Plus, you're doing, like you say, narrations. I've got the Paranormal Network stuff. Like, we're busy.
I'm
we're
doing
busy
vocals
people.
For guys and music and albums coming out, and it's just crazy. I don't even... If I was any older, I'd forget about it all and just be on the couch with my hand in the cookie jar.
But that's what we've done for the last 15 months. So being busy again is a very good thing. Same. I didn't catch a lot. I'll probably even save most of it for next week when we're doing a wrap-up show. But I have to make a correction.
Uh-oh.
We aired.
No, we're just not sorry.
We're never sorry. But I made him boo-boo.
Uh-oh.
Last week, I said the hitman's wife's bodyguard was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's coming out this week.
Oh.
I was ahead of the game by a week.
Oh, that's okay. We were just watching trailers and excited about it because it kind of, the first one flew under the radar somehow.
But it was still a hit enough to do a second, right?
My wife saw it. She's like, oh my God. She saw the trailer for the second one. We got to watch. Like, I didn't know there was a first one. I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. And
it
it's
is.
On Netflix.
I've seen it. I saw it in the theater representing with my buddy Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L.
Right.
Werewolves Within, let's get into that.
Sure, man.
It is a 2021 horror comedy directed by Josh Rubin and written by Mishna Wolf. It stars Sam Richardson and Melina Weintraub, who people might know as Lily from those AT&T ads. She's also a stand-up comic. To describe the movie Werewolves Within, how to do that and do the film justice, because Sam Richardson plays a park ranger.
Yep.
Who newly arrives in this small town.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to make the Cliff's Notes version. During the middle of winter, there's a storm. Also, people have started to die. The generators have been destroyed by some kind of animal. And basically all, well, not all, but many of the town's residents gather at this lodge in order to avoid becoming victims of something. And they believe that it could possibly be a werewolf. So in a weird way, it's like that Agatha Christie story, 10 Little Indians. We got to try to figure out who's the werewolf.
Yep.
But it's also a comedy. So why don't you start, Sean? Because I'm curious to know you're eating ice on the radio.
Well, I was going to do it quietly, but then you're like, hey, how about you start? And I was like, yeah. Yes. Crown Royal mixed with ice.
It's Friday night.
And that's it.
We can get away with this.
Is that considered drinking on the job?
Probably.
But it's our job. It's,
and we've been doing it for years, right?
We're the bosses. Yeah. You know what? This is going down as my watch of the year. Watch of COVID.
The watch of COVID.
Sure. Yeah. Like, we've watched, everybody has finished Netflix. Everybody has finished YouTube. Like, this has been the greatest thing I've watched since last March. And even before that, I mean, it was hilarious. It was a werewolf movie, and the timing, like, I know the writer was a comedian.
Yes.
And you can write jokes for other people to say, you just got to find the right people to do it. And if you don't get that mixture right, it could fail badly. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, so, yes, yes.
I think, I laughed and I loved this movie all at the same time, and it was great. I don't. The acting was hilarious. The chemistry was so good, and this is all the pretentious stuff that, you know, we kind of look like pretentious people really look for in, like,
yeah, good writing,
romance movies or whatever. But
good acting, chemistry, believable.
This was insanely good. Like, I can't even tell you. Like, probably, like, really, like, out of all the $1 million movies we've seen, $1 billion movies even, this still blows them away.
Yes.
For such a simple little thing. And I highly recommend it. And if you don't go and see it, that's crazy. And it is a werewolf movie.
Sort of.
But, like, I was like, you know, of course, hoping for the carnage, the blood, the gore, all the stuff that comes with werewolves, the standard things. But this was not a standard werewolf movie. This was not a standard movie of any kind, really. I don't even think I know I don't even know what I don't know about film schooling to know how good this movie was on other levels.
Wow.
So that's why I'm waiting. You need to chime in.
Oh, you want me to chime in? Yeah, no.
And back this up, I think, or maybe you hated it. I don't know.
No, I didn't. I loved it. Good. I went in. I enjoyed the heck out of it. I'm like you. This is probably, we've seen some good movies since COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But this is probably, like, yeah, the watch of COVID. I found, and I'm not saying, like, you know, Volition was really good and Extraction and these other movies, but there is something about this movie, and it's a word I don't really use, but it captured my heart in a way that I can't even explain.
The, like, one feel you have is now gone.
Exactly, because this movie took it. Because I liked everything about it. Like you said, the pretentious stuff we usually poo-poo on, but it's well-written, well-directed, well-acted, well-shot. It's funny. It's smart. It builds... It's got this kind of carefree charm to it, and then it just builds into this fever pitch as the movie gets towards the end. And by that point, we were in the last 15 minutes. I didn't care if there was going to be a werewolf in it or not.
Right.
I was just having so much fun and liking all the characters and all the performances so much that I loved it. I had a great time with it. You know, I highly recommend it. I think I've seen Josh Rubin's other film, Scare Me, which was a very unconventional horror comedy as well, that he actually acted in and co-wrote. That was really good. This is better. Mm-hmm. And I think Mishna Wolf, as you're going to hear on the other side of this, she's a clever lady and a great writer and very talented. And it comes through in all this stuff. And I just think the writing, the right casting, the director that believed in the project, this shows what can happen when this perfect storm happens of entertainment. And one scene that just, it won me over. It takes place sort of early on when Milana Weintraub and Sam Richardson have just sort of met, and they kind of are holding up in this little bar. And it involves a dance and an Ace of Base song. But it just blew me away how much I suddenly just liked these people and these characters, and I just wanted to see what happened.
Yeah. Yep, that was a good scene for me. And spoiler alert, a non-spoiler alert, because Jason, you said something a little bit ago about, you know, you got almost to the end and you didn't even care if there was going to be a werewolf in it. So there is a werewolf in it.
There is, yes.
FYI.
People wanting a werewolf movie, don't worry, there is one in it. But you won't care by the time you get there whether there was or not.
Yeah.
If you've got any sort of brain in your body, you're just going to enjoy this movie for what it is. Seek it out in theaters because you can start going back now or find it on VOD. However you can find it, watch it. I watched it. We got to watch it for free. We got the screener. I'm going to buy this and I'm going to enjoy it. And it's going to be like an annual watch easily. Mm-hmm. And I can watch it with my son. It's got that kind of monster squad-ish vibe. I can watch it with my wife. The whole family can sit down and enjoy it. But that doesn't mean that it's a weak movie. It just makes it better.
Yep.
Anyway, so two goods, obviously.
Yeah, good for me.
On Werewolves Within. So seek it out. We've got our interview with Werewolves Within writer Mishna Wolf after we pay some bills. So stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the basement. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Jason and Sean from the basement on the Mighty Radio NL. The second to last episode of our primetime series for those who are tuning in. But don't worry, we will continue in some podcast form when we feel like it.
Yeah, and you can find all our old episodes there too. Like if you didn't already know that.
Yeah, exactly, right? We came from thebasement.com. That's where you can find our stuff moving forward. Yeah. And we're also doing regular content still on the site. You can still read that. Mike S. and Marcus
Flora. Yeah, and we're going to record stuff when we're really passionate about it and feeling we need to get together and talk about a movie.
Because we sit down and tend to watch something once a week. Anyways, sooner or later, something's going to be like, we need to talk about that.
Yeah, and we'll talk the...
bleep out of it.
But like, we'll be able to say the word that's covered up by the bleep.
Yeah, which we can't do here. Speaking of talking, Mischna Wolf is like an author and now a screenwriter. This was her first feature film that actually made it into production so far. And I'm thinking when this goes big, which I hope it does, a lot more of her films will get out there. I got an opportunity to chat with her about the movie and the process of making it. This is based on a video game. Did you know?
I didn't
either when this went into it. So I'm going to shut up and let Mischna Wolf talk for you now.
It's great to talk to you about Werewolves Within. I watched it the other night and found it was super funny and refreshingly witty. So thank you for writing such a good movie. This is your first feature screenplay, from what I understand.
This is the first one that made it through the thin tunnel into production and onto the screen. It's very exciting for me.
I bet. And it's an adaptation of a video game as well, from what I understand.
Yeah.
I've never played it. What was that process like, writing a movie based on a video game?
It was really fun. I was in the Ubisoft Women's Fellowship, I was the first Ubisoft Women's Fellow. So we were kind of making up the roles as we went along a little bit, but they had a really great structure, and they opened up the vault, and I got to go in and play a bunch of games and just sort of pitch on what I thought would be an interesting movie and why. And I brought them a few ideas, and we all really sparked to this particular idea. I played this game, and it's four people around a fire trying to ferret out the werewolf, and they make terrible deductions based on their own petty grievances with each other and or what they look like in their avatars. So people make decisions based on what an avatar looks like. It's the fact that people are illogical plus the private justice element of it, I thought was just fertile ground.
It was, and it really comes across, because it's kind of like this quirky Twin Peaks-esque town. It's neat that you bring in sort of the outsider ranger, who's like sort of this real nice guy, and he's trying to, it's a great way to introduce everybody. And just his interactions with the people, like, where did you kind of just come up with these characters? Like, were they based on characters in the game, or did you kind of just create them out of your own mind? You know what I mean?
No, I think I created them out of my own mind, but they started to take on a life of their own. I mean, I think part of what went into it is, like, if this was a small town, what different archetypes would create maximum conflict? So, you have your loner who lives way out in the woods. And I was watching a lot of Alaskan bush people and Alaskan survivalist shows at the time. And I was like, I want one of those guys. And I love the movie The Revenant. And I just wanted to create someone who does not need society. And different other archetypes, Trish is, that busybody. And her husband is seems to toe the line with her, but he's a little posy with the girls. And you have the more affluent gay couple who moves there from the city and can kind of afford more than everyone else. And an innkeeper who's kind of a victim and, what you might call a bit of a cat lady and just putting all these characters together and seeing their conflicts, George Basil and Sarah Byrne play Gwen and Marcus, and they're just pure comedic joy. They are just, they're so trashy. It's such a toxic relationship they have. And they're delightful. So just creating all these conflicts and then asking myself, like, who's the best person to walk into all this conflict? It's like, how about a really nice guy who hates conflict?
which was brilliant. And the dynamic comes out very quickly, like with the way it's portrayed. And the actor's name suddenly just slipped my mind, unfortunately.
Sam Richardson.
And his sort of interactions with Milana
Milana Weintraub, and she's just so funny in this film.
She stole it for me, actually.
She really does.
And just the way, you know, even when she reacts to the sort of the posy gentleman, you know, he's always trying to get it was gold.
She's such a star. There's so many great moments with her. She just has these little lines that are just so funny, and her facial expressions are fantastic.
How much of all that was sort of on the page that you wrote, and how much did you, you know, in the script, did you allow for that kind of like improvisation? Because there's, you know, a lot of people that are great comedic timing here.
Well, I mean, I couldn't really allow for improvisation because I had to attract a director. I had to attract a cast. So, you know, the script has to do all these things. And then it just becomes a blueprint for a much bigger commodity than I could have created myself. So, you know, once the script does what it needs to do, the director comes on, he did a polish, you know, and, you know, physical production comes on and they say, no, we can't do this scene outdoors. That's going to cost too much. We can't blow that up, you know? And, you know, you work with the army you've got. And then, you know, Josh Rubin, who directed this, brought in such a wonderful cast, and they are great improvisers, and they brought amazing ad libs to this script and made me look smarter than I am. But I did get to see a lot of my banter make it up onto the screen. And it's such a thrill to watch your words come out of an actor's mouth. It's really stupendous.
Absolutely. How much of what, like from your draft, I mean, I know there's multiple drafts that go into a movie, and like you said, the director polished it. How much of what you wrote was intact by the time the film was edited? Like, you know, when you watch the finished product?
I mean, there was a lot of it. I did wind up getting a pretty big writing credit on the movie. It's written by, which is, you know, that's a big writing credit.
Huge.
But you know, there's so much writing that's not writing, right? I mean, I didn't, you know, Josh did a wonderful polish, and he consolidated two characters that I couldn't see needed consolidation. And he, you know, he made decisions about the set and the lighting and the this and that and the smoke and the mood and, you know, where people should stand. And, you know, that's just not on the page.
He had his previous film, Scare Me. I don't know if you've seen that, but
of course.
Your humor really blends well with the style of that film, which he wrote and directed. What was your relationship like with Josh to work with him in crafting this film?
Josh came off. When Josh came on, the script was in I think it was in good shape. There were a few directors that interviewed interviewed that pitched on the movie. He was one that came in and really liked the script. And Ubisoft, I remember, sent me a deck he made, and it was just like his references were like really in line with our references that we had been thinking of the whole way through. And it just seemed really simpatico. And I watched Scare Me, and I felt like it was a perfect directorial voice for the script we had. And it was a great mashup. I get along really well with him. He's a lovely person. But I also feel like he's someone I could host a movie night with. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps. You know, he did a great job with Scare Me, and on a very tight budget, and the Foley work he did was so inventive. I felt like the sound was amazing.
It was, and it seemed very improvisational as well, which I think that's a credit to you as a writer to kind of create this movie that feels very, everything just feels, it's very light and just seems to make sense the way that everything unravels. It reminded me kind of in a way of a mix, like of an old Agatha Christie, you know, kind of like, you know, 10 Little Indians. And then there's a movie that scared me as a kid called The Beast Must Die, which is a British werewolf movie where it's very much a similar.
I haven't seen that one. You're throwing down some good references here. Gotta tell you, Jason, I'm not even picking up what you're laying down. It's like, woo, right over my head.
Yeah, I was eight and it just scared me, but it's just, there was a character, the oil baron character who's hunting is very much as a character in Beast Must Die, where there's that element as well.
What are your influences? Good.
I mean, obviously you're writing based on a video game, but what other influences came in to affect Werewolves Within?
I think Alien, that's a really contained movie. And the Ash character, I thought, was a nice MacGuffin. Mm-hmm. So he was someone I was thinking of when I was thinking about the Oil Man. The Thing, certainly. Yeah. Clue was an influence. Obviously American Werewolf in London, just because it has some really serious humor and it weaves humor and really, really seamlessly. Just the way Griffin Dunn is just this decrepit grotesque that you know, keeps urging the central character to kill himself.
Yeah, I love that too. That whole movie is gold, pure gold. I think this is as funny though as American Werewolf in London. Did you want it to be more of a comedy or a horror with comedy? What tone did you kind of go in wanting to do here? I know you're humorous by nature. So
yeah, I did stand up for 10 years before I was a writer and live storytelling. It was always supposed to be funny. There were different drafts. We played with different levels. You know, it's definitely more alchemy than science. Just getting the suspense to funny ratio quite right. But, you know, there were certainly some guideposts for it. There's been some really good versions of it, you know, Monster Squad and Clue and, you know, a later John Carpenter, like They Live. I really loved, the Dawn of the Dead, movie was, something I always really enjoyed, the one where they're at the mall.
Of course.
You know, Evil Dead 2 has very comedic moments, though they're just sort of these frenzied Ash moments that, you know, that are fun and hold up so well.
And you kind of capture that kind of frenzied pace, especially towards the end when everything really starts to unravel. It kind of leaves like sort of the one room mystery and it goes out there, becomes quite chaotic. Did you kind of know going in who you wanted I don't want to give anything away, but who you wanted the werewolf to be and how you wanted to play out?
Always. I start everything with the end in mind. I always work backwards. Really? You know, yeah. Yeah, it was the first thing. It was really the first thing. It's like, this is who the werewolf is. And then how do I kick dirt over that for 90 minutes?
And it was brilliant because I honestly didn't really see it coming like that when the reveal happened. I didn't see it. I was like, really? And even though they kind of do the show, like they almost like the Sixth Sense kind of playback where you kind of can pick up on things. I did not see that one coming at all.
Well, thank you, Jason. That makes me very happy.
Good. And it kind of works because you almost think like it's not really a werewolf movie for like 99% of it. Really, there's the possibility of it, but it's not. It's people, like you say, kind of stepping over their own toes and trying to create more conflict than necessary.
And that was something, you know, purposely, I was like, this is not a movie where we're going to see the creature through the whole movie. You know, I feel like it's scarier not to see the creature. To the point where you're scratching your head at some point going like, is there even a creature? And you know, that's kind of the fun of this genre is just playing with expectations and playing with archetypes, playing with MacGuffins where, you know, you fake left, go right. It's kind of like stand up.
I could see that. I've never done, I'm too scared even to try stand up. So
you're kind of doing it, Jason. I've got to tell you.
Thanks. I guess one final bit, did you have say in the werewolf design when the creature does show up? Like, was there sort of in the script, like you wanted it to look a certain way, like traditional werewolf or more wolf?
Sure. But you know, it's like, it's a collaboration and you know, what was in my head and what happens are like very, very different things. So, you know, it worked the way it was supposed to work. You know, there were drawings that I saw along the way, but it, you know, SFX is not my bailiwick. So, you know, that was probably the thing I was going to be, you know, least involved in. And I think Josh did such a great job with the whole thing. It really I'm really happy. It's such a fun movie. It's the type of thing I would want to curl up with on a Friday night and a bunch of friends and a big, big bowl of popcorn. So
I'm going to be doing it again. Like I watched it, you know, on the, cause I had the screener on the computer. I can't wait to watch it like on a bigger TV or get to see it on a big screen. And it's a really great film. And it's one I have a 9-year-old and I feel I could show him it because he'd appreciate Monster Squad as well.
Does he? Oh, that's great. That's awesome. So,
thank you so much, Mishna, for your time and for the film and everything like that. And I wish you the best of success.
Thanks, Jason.
And that was Mishna Wolf. Listeners will know that we've got even more of our conversation with her on the podcast, which will drop on the Monday morning at wecamefromthebasement.com. She was great to talk to. Super smart. Very talented.
I would have been intimidated, especially a smart comedian with the comebacks of a buddy that I used to go to high school with. He's written some books and stuff. I won't say his name because I don't know if he'd like me to, but man, that guy was witty and it was hard to have a conversation with him and even try to be serious.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you tried to joke around, he would just torch you.
Destroy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a great chat. And I was a little bit intimidated. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I was. And I don't usually get intimidated much because I've talked to, I don't know how many thousands of people over the course of my various careers doing this kind of thing. So yeah, once again, Werewolves Within, out June 25th. Mm. Check it out. Do you remember the old movie Surviving the Game?
Yes.
I watched that actually. Really? Now that I had time to think about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, with Ice-T, yeah. Ice-T, Rutger Hauer, Charles S. Dutton, directed by Ernest Dickerson. It's basically, it came out after Hard Target.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame because it's basically they're both based on The Most Dangerous Game, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at the time, I was just like, Hard Target, and my mind blew it away. I didn't care. Like, come on. Too many similarities. You know, homeless guy on the run from a bunch of people hunting him kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Watching it again 25-ish years later, I appreciated it a lot more.
Really?
Yeah, and I really quite enjoyed it.
Side did you want to be on, the hunters or the...
the hunted, man. I was happy when Ice-T turned the tails on those guys. But I mean... You know, it's Rutger Hauer. It's Rutger Hauer, man. That guy was just awesome. Such a good and talented actor. He's very much missed. But yeah, it's just a good movie. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. It is available out there. And I caught an Eric Red film.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'd seen our buddy Eric Red. Body Parts. The one he directed with Jeff Fahey. You know,
seen that forever.
I hadn't either. So I felt it was time to sit down and watch that again and just really enjoy it. And I did. And Kim Delaney was in it. She was like, remember Tour of Duty? Yeah. It was back in the day. So such a good movie.
Well, and I've been doing the narrations. I caught Dagon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I like Dagon. Yeah. You know, that's the fun thing about doing those narrations. It reminds you of movies.
Yeah.
I did one, and I'd see it. I owned it, but Session 9, and I owned it, but I hadn't watched it in like 10 years. So I'm like, I did the narration. I'm like, I need to watch that again.
Well, and the worst part is because, so you and I have been doing this for a very long time. You're the names guy. You'll throw directors and writers and producers, and you'll say these names like I'm supposed to know them, and I just nod like I pretend I do, but I don't. I don't remember people's names in movies. So I was doing a narration. I read the reviews on YouTube. It's got like over 20 or 30,000 views at this point. And some of those like, dude, it's Combs, like a comb. It's not Coombs, but it was. I went back and it was written incorrect. So I just read what I just read what I saw.
That's right.
I wasn't thinking about who the people were because I don't know who they were. I just watched the movie and I liked it. I can talk about a movie. I don't have to be with the pretentious informationalist, right? And I know why YouTubers have burnout syndrome because I was like, I read like 3 or 4 different comments about the pronunciations of names, and I'm like,
don't read it.
Yeah. I'd come down there and drop kick somebody's butt.
Yeah, I know. I got one, and I did one, and you know, Christopher Lambert, you know, it was Tarzan, Highlander, and all that stuff. It's actually not pronounced Christopher Lambert. It's Christoph Lambert. I didn't know that for years until I actually had to do a narration where I'm talking about it.
I just learned
and
something.
And I went and looked it up, and then I said it the proper way that it's supposed to be because he's from France, and someone, one of those commenters, like, it's not Lambert, it's Lambert. And I'm just like,
yeah, let's argue with people on the internet because that'll get you somewhere.
It's a waste of time. Anyways, and we are out of time here in the basement. We're back next week for one last go around. Mm-hmm. It'll be fun. You will miss us, but you'll always know where to find us. So until then, we'll see you in the basement.